With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Alex Kennedy Podcast, which is part of the Basketball News Podcast Network. This is episode number 32, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Today I'm joined by an outstanding player who's played for three NBA teams, the Grizzlies, Heat, and Nuggets. He also dominated in China and won the G League MVP award in 2016. He's also thriving off the court with his own production company, Stoked Film Group. My guest is the great Jarnell Stokes. Jarnell, thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to chat with you and pick your brain. I've known you for quite some time now. We met when you were going through the pre-draft process. And, you know, I feel like you've grown so much as a person. I'm so proud of all the things that you're doing. And I'm curious, because you've really come out of your shell and had so much success in different areas, what advice would you give to your younger self if you had a chance to go talk to that Jarnell that I first met back then?
Yeah, that's a great question. It would be gratitude and with a mix of, this may sound counterintuitive, but open-mindedness, I would say. I was extremely closed-minded growing up. I mean, I'm from the hood. I mean, I grew up Whitehaven, you know, Orange Mound. I mean, I literally just saw where the street I grew up on, you know, had, which is Bradley Street in Memphis, got shot up after, you know, the death of Dolph, you know, a lot of different things. And, you know, I grew up in an environment where I was always put in situations where I had to fight. And instead of explaining myself, so that like rebuttal spirit has always been in me as a kid. And I think a lot of people that come from where I come from is struggle with that. So, you know, with that being said, when you have an open mind and when you're flexible and you're grateful, it removes emotion and it just allows you to think logically about the next steps. And had I done that, I truly believe, and I don't wish it any differently. Of course, I'm very happy with where I am. I've just gained a lot. Externally, mostly internally, but that definitely would have propelled my say, if we're just talking basketball, would have propelled my basketball career to become everything that I imagined it to be. But the thing is, I thought I was already there, and that all I needed to do was work hard, as opposed to seek guidance and staying open to what it is that could be coming in the future. Like, for instance, I had no idea that this 3-point line would just change the entire game. You see, I came in at a time, you know, I played, you know, 3-4 years in the NBA, you know, 2-time gold medalist. That I came into the NBA believing that I would always continuously have that success, you know. Low post player, grew up in the grit and grind era with Z-Bo and Marc Gasol. I love those guys, by the way. And, you know, I love what Grizzlies is doing now too. But I didn't listen to those who were telling me that I need to focus on the 3-point line, because I was telling them, yeah, if I see your ass down here on the block, I give it to you, you know. And that's just how I was coming back then, as opposed to thinking smart, working smart. So it wasn't until like my third year in the NBA, I actually started shooting the three.
It is crazy. I was going to ask you about that next, just the evolution of the NBA. And I've talked to players about this, but also executives, because we see it's a copycat league. And I remember specifically being at the NBA draft combine, and every single player was adamant that they had a specific position and they weren't a tweener. And like, if you played multiple positions, it was considered a bad thing. And it meant you just didn't have a position, and, you know, coaches didn't know where to use you. And then, you know, a year later, every single player saying, oh, I don't want to say I have a position. I'm positionless, versatile, and like, it totally switched. And that happens so often where like the whole league just kind of pivots a certain way. And you mentioned, I mean, it can be really difficult whenever you're trying to anticipate those kind of things. How much, not only just the three-point shot, but also small ball and just how teams ran things differently. You know, how much did the NBA evolve from when you entered the league to now?
Yeah, well, analytics, I think AI is just destroying every industry. So a lot, for those who don't know, like what happened to Yahoo with Google, the same thing happened with me in the NBA. You know, I did not adapt to change. I had opportunities to work on different things like defense, and you know, that's what gets me excited now about training. I'm working out three times a day. I'm just posting. I see people talking, saying different things about me and my career, and I screenshot, put it on my wall, on my board, you know, because I'm locked in. I can't wait to get back out there. But just to answer your question more directly, this entire I guess it happened back with Phoenix Suns with Steve Nash, I would say, or I mean, it's been going on for a while. If you were able to catch the trend, people making these outrageous predictions. I mean, you took away the mid-range shot, saying it's not important. That was my shot. You know, it also, you know, low post in on the block. You know, bully ball has just been destroyed in a sense. And I guess the only perspective that you can take from it is to not only improve and keep an open mind, but to also realize that I think the game has gotten soft, to be honest. It is not what I, you know, when Z-Bo and, you know, Tony Allen, Matt Barnes, these are my old teammates. You know, it's not, Marcus Gasol is even tough as nails, you know, and it's not the same. It's more, controlled by refs, get up and down, shoot. And that's a perspective that a big guy like me could come in and say, you know what? Everyone fears me. Everyone, I step on the court, I feel the fear in other players. And, no one wants to bang anymore. So let me 10X how much I bang. And, while working on certain things that, you know, would propel and fit in and mesh. So that you make a great point with the tweener thing, because I was always trying to be solidify myself as a low post player. Like, that was my mission growing up. It wasn't to, you know, do all this extra cute stuff. I mean, it was just, we called it cute.
Stay in your lane.
Right, right. If Bo come to gym and shoot a three back in 2010, dude, the coach would cuss him out and say, get out. Like, you're a pussy. And then definitely where I'm from in Memphis, like, that's a no-no. So I was always trying to fight being a tweener and to be a low close player. And it caught up with me. And I blame myself, because I think everyone knew that this change was happening. We just didn't know. I watched it with my own eyes. I even was a part of it while seeing Golden State, put out the Grizzlies. I think it was like 2 years in a row. In the playoffs, which pretty much, you know, ended the grit and grind era. So, I'm blessed to be a part of that era. And I'm also not as blessed to be the final part of that grit and grind era.
That could just be so maddening. Like, that for anyone, if your industry was changing rapidly and you're trying to keep up with it, not only as a player, but also as executive, when you're judged on these decisions and you're constantly having to evolve and adapt, I mean, that's pretty difficult. You mentioned something that is interesting to me. You talked about the physicality in today's NBA. And I did an article recently with Joe Young, who played the Pacers. He was in the NBA. Now he's in the G League. But he had played 3 years in China. And he said that China was the most physical league that he played in. And I think there's this perception about China because people see the stat lines that guys put up and they're like, oh, there's no competition there. It's easy. But he was saying, like, you get beat up, you get hacked, you're covered in bruises. And because you're American, they're not calling fouls for you and people aren't taking it easy on you. I'd imagine you, especially being down low, what was your experience like over there, the physicality in China versus the NBA?
There's been numerous times where you allow, different players. The referee lets them get away with a lot of things, you know.
I think that's what Joe was saying, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I see all the hand checks and, you know, fouls, and I'm just a stoic on the court. So I tune it out. I actually like it. Be honest, I thrive in that environment. Like when guys complain about it, I'm like, dude, that's what I want. Like this is great because now I can do the same thing. You know, I can push a little harder. I know he's going to not just flop and fall out like they're doing, you know, sometimes today. So I actually like it.
How was your experience in China? I know we had talked a number of times when you were over there just about, you know, your experience playing over there and things like that. But just overall, looking at on the court, off the court, how was it for you?
Dude, it was fun. I had a blast. I would say, there were certain times in my life over there where, you know, I broke my foot with the Nuggets and, I had a stress fracture that didn't heal as fast as I would like it to. Which, you know, I went ahead and took a job over in China as opposed to just going to the G League and trying to get another job because I was, you know, injured. Why not just take the money? And with that being said, that was a terrible decision because my foot was still hurting. And that was my first time in China. I did not know that they don't care. They will tell you, get your ass on the floor. They will call the doctors. They will set up, you know, fake doctors, they'll write reports. I was getting threats, like seriously. This team really, really, and the root of it was just wanting to win. You know, they put an investment in a player. I understand. I could have been more understanding that, you know, they're just a business and they're trying to win. This coach here may lose his job if I don't play, you know, because that's how much they depend on Americans. And even though we were a top team in the league and, you know, it could have been a little bit more understanding. And, you know, the doctor literally was telling me not to play. But listen, you go through those type of situations in China all the time. Like that's just another, I'm just another guy going through that. But other than that, like you talk about the people, technology, just me, entrepreneurship. It's helped me in my mindset advance. You know, it's given me this peace of mind to where I don't have to feel so connected to the environment that I was from. You know, I feel like I can go out and go my own way and do my own things. And it's also given me the ability to play the four position. And, you know, I know, we were talking about the tweener. So I'm working now that tweener is good. Now all of a sudden they want tweeners. So I'm working to become a tweener now. And, being in China is just, you know, put that on the pedestal. So I was able to compete in championships and, and every single team I would say that, I know for a fact, and I would say that other people would say that I was the best player at one time. I was the most highest paid player, big man in China. So there's a lot of respect there. And, I would love to go back at some point, but I have my eyes set on getting back in the NBA. So I'm doing workouts now. Like in the past, I would never work on defense. Like how dumb is that? You know, like I'm just talking just straight up with you, man. I now I'm doing workouts without the ball because I realized like, dude, I would get in summer league and not even, or getting out in the game or, scrimmage, whatever to, teams, I would not touch the ball. But I've been dribbling the ball a million times today and none of it would be used on the court. So just having that humbleness to put the ball down and work out just on my body, my legs, being able to move, I think will, shed light on my offense moving forward.
Well, you mentioned you're locked in and you're working out really hard. You plan to play in NBA Summer League this offseason, correct?
Yep. And also, I'm thinking about joining Big Three, you know, Drew League. I'm pretty excited about basketball. I had a lot of great things happen. And a lot of people, you know, believe that, you know, I may have stopped for other reasons. You know, it's really the root of it was COVID. You know, I was playing up until COVID broke out. And then, you know, a lot of stuff happened with the George Floyd protest. And it just got mixed. So people were saying, you know, he's, you know, focused on, you know, social justice and all this type of stuff, which is true. You know, as, you know, regional manager at the Hip Hop Caucus, you know, I am and also a board member of, you know, Green of Environmental Media Association. I do a lot with active organizations, but it's not as it doesn't affect, you know, my career. And I would love to address that, allow athletes to understand that you can be a part of social change and not, you know, sacrifice your career, because that's not what I was doing. You know, I just, COVID is just not smart to play, you know, sometimes.
No, absolutely. I remember my last podcast before I started this one, you came on, I think it was a month after the NBA shut down, and you talked about being in China whenever COVID was kind of breaking out and trying to fly home and just, you know, telling your friends and family like, hey guys, this is really serious. And you knew it was coming. In America, people were like, you know, there's only X number of cases. It's not that big of a deal. And then in March, that's when people were like, oh, wait a second. All these businesses start shutting down and people start taking it for real. Can you kind of recount that experience just being over in China whenever COVID was, you know, starting to really spread and just what that was like? Because, I mean, that's got to be scary.
Yeah, I think I was the first player in the world to catch COVID. Like, truly believe that. Yeah, the first person, I would say, because I had COVID before it even announced in China. I was playing. Well, I got sick. I had the flu. You see my last game, I only played like 10 minutes. And I was just freaking sneezing, throwing up. I mean, it was all the COVID symptoms. Then, you know, we found out 4 or 5 days later that, oh, they're shutting the city down. So just being in China, it was extremely scary. They're so used to wearing masks and they're so used to these protocols. But you know, I'm somewhat of a conspiracy theorist, so I know about the big agenda, I would say, the new world order type of thing that's happening. And I just thought it may have been bigger. You know, guys were, you know, all my teammates were just freaking out about, you know, not coming close to each other. So, you know, I tried to jump on a flight. It took me about 3 weeks just to get out. And then I started realizing, okay, every week it was a new country going down with COVID. And then, you know, 3 months later, I even saw Americans, you know, I'm telling Americans, it's about to get bad, you guys. Like, I didn't know for sure, so I couldn't bluntly say it, but, and little do you know, I hear Donald Trump saying COVID isn't coming to America. It's a hoax. You know, nothing's going to happen. And I got to America, I would say, in like February, and the month afterwards, I'm thinking I'm about to start back playing and get after it. I thought, you know, I listened to Trump for a second at that point. And next thing you know, man, it's been down since. So I hadn't been to China since that event, but it took like going to the airport like 10 times just to get out of China, you know, alone. And I thought about going to the Middle East. I was about to go to Switzerland, Dubai, Africa. I know Ian Clark, my teammate, he went to Egypt for like a month or so. I was just like, dude, no way you coming back to play ball. And that's just, you know, it was fun, actually, now thinking back. But, you know, every day you're just wondering if you're going to die, because this news is just so, you know, just so real. What's going on, you know? Just like everybody else.
No, that was very scary. I remember, you know, when you came on the podcast and you were talking about that, that had to be so frustrating, just telling people like, hey, I just experienced this. Trust me on this one. But, there was a lot of... A lot of people who just were naive back then or ignorant to it, but it's crazy.
Still today.
Not today. Yeah, it's true. Well, I'm very excited to see you, you know, back in summer league and, you know, see what you can do. I think, you know, every time you've gotten an opportunity, you've made the most of it, whether it's in China, whether it's in the G League, whether it's in the NBA. So I'm excited to see what you can do.
Thank you.
Mentioned your workouts right now. What does a typical day look like for you? Like, what are you doing training wise to prepare for that summer league opportunity?
Well, first off, I feel like the most important thing for me is to eat right. So that's a habit I picked up when I was in China, making smoothies, green smoothies every day.
As I take a sip of Coke.
Right.
I need to follow your lead.
Man, it actually helps. It gives you a lot of clarity and you know, pushes you to want to work out first and foremost. So once you get that and also finding your why, as in like, why do I want to play basketball again? And that's a question that holds near and dear to me. Back then it was about proving to other people that, you know, I could play, that I could do this, do that. Now it's about proving it to myself. And that allows me to remove the ego out the question. Because, you know, growing up a star, I mean, top five all your life growing up, then, you know, you can go to any college. I mean, McDonald's All-American. I mean, just name it. Anything that John Wall and Kyrie's and LeBron's did, I did as a high schooler. And it's a huge, you know, it's a lot of shedding the ego to have to, you know, be in the position that I'm in now. So a normal day for me would be to, you know, wake up 5 a.m. I, you know, make smoothies. I have a ton of fun just making the you know, listening to cryptocurrency as, and then I get up and run a mile on the beach, and you know, I after that I go to the weight room and I meet with my trainer to go to the gym, in which, you know, right now we're doing a lot of lateral quickness. I do remember in the combine, even though I was one of the fastest and highest jumping big man, I was still very slow at lateral speed, and it showed on tape. So that's a humble side. That's something I'm having to address. And and then, you know, later in the day we get up shots. So you know, just doing less without the ball, more off ball stuff. That's my focus right now. Just three times a day. Also, you know, just working on my body, running, lifting weights. One thing I never did in the past was run on my own as well. So, you know, back in high school, I remember, you know, just having all these posters on the wall. And, you know, it's so hard to wake up at 5 a.m. Sometimes you just got to, you know, have water, glass of water, just pour it on your face. Or sometimes you just got to just roll out the bed and fall on your face. You know, it's really, you'll set like 10 freaking alarms. So just mindfully, just staying focused on, you know, keeping that passion. If I can just wake up early in the morning, for some reason, dude, I feel like I'm just a lion. Like nobody can touch me in that time space. So I'm just chasing that inspiration, keeping that going. And dude, I was training a lot last year, and then I caught COVID in December, and it's just, I thought I was done. To be honest with you, there were days where I was just like, man, I may just actually check out here, because I just didn't have energy, and it basically, you know, stopped my plans to be playing in right now. So I'm preparing for the summer, and it'll mostly, I can imagine the reports will say that he's improved his defense, you know, his lateral quickness, rebounding, IQ. You know, the ability to shoot the ball off, spot up shooting, you know, things like that. And then I also want to keep the low post game going as well. I know that's a guaranteed bucket. I don't think anybody in the world can stop me on the post.
Absolutely. I always love seeing veterans like yourself play summer league, you know, and just watching you guys dominate. It's so fun to watch you against like some of the younger players, and just, you know, you have not only your talent, but tons of experience, and you know, you're basically veterans out there and you can dominate. So I'm excited to see what you can do. But I do want to ask you some off-court questions too. You mentioned cryptocurrencies. I saw in an interview, you said that you earned more from crypto already than from your NBA career. That's amazing. When did you get into crypto and how did that kind of come about?
Yeah, I put like 800,000 into Bitcoin and Ethereum back in 2017 when it was at like 6,000-7,000. So I've been a part of two bull runs, and I'm trying to time the top and then put it at the bottom, then buy the dip. I would say I was a long term holder. Hodler is what they call it. You know, you hold it for long term value. But now I'm looking into the intricacies of trading bots and AI and how it's affecting even cryptocurrency day trading. And it's a huge emerging tech. That's one thing I would like for athletes to realize, before we judge our peers for making the decisions that they make, you have to understand that, the quickest way to get rich is innovation. Aside from maybe building your own business or investing in some type of SPAC, innovation is the key. So with that being said, I'm not hurting financially. And that's also, one of those, things I have to remember, that I'm not doing anything for money, but sometimes it's good to let people know that, I'm totally fine. Don't let this humble nature fool you. But all in all, man, it's a crypto. I'm getting into some of these newer coins. Like, I really like the Voyager VGX token. I like Helium. I see a lot of people in the Shibu. I was one of those guys calling it a shit token, but now you can make, honestly, I'm making a living right now off of shit tokens.
There you go. Got to adapt.
Selling. Yep, exactly. So, I went from being the biggest critique to now that's where I make most of my money, getting in early and then pulling out once it, explodes. So, but you can also lose a lot of money with that too, which it's a story for another day. But, all in all, it's been a great journey, seriously, of just freedom. My story is redemption. And it doesn't just have to be on the court. Success feels the same no matter, how you get it. So whether I became an all-star or, a freaking Hollywood A-list actor, it feels the same, honestly.
That's awesome. See, I love that you're having so much success off the court too, because I know there have been plenty of players who, when it is time for them to walk away from basketball or they start to make that transition, they have a really hard time. They don't know what to do. So much of their identity comes from basketball that they're really struggling with confidence and their mental health and all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad that you're in this position where you have all these other irons in the fire and they're, thriving, which another one I want to mention is you're now executive producing movies. You have your own film production company, which has been amazing to see. Like, you have a bunch of movies coming out in 2022. So you have the Hollywood side of things, the crypto side of things, still working hard in basketball. It's just awesome to see all the different things that you're doing right now. And there is a certain freedom there. Like, I think sometimes we see players have to make decisions based on, the money side of things. Like, they think, oh, I could go to the G League and maybe get a spot in an NBA roster, but I can't take that salary. I need to go overseas. That, I think what you've been able to do, how nice is that freedom? And what is it like trying to balance all those things too? But, executive producing, crypto, how are you figuring out where to spend your time?
Yeah, well, a lot of people should realize, first and foremost, in China, I was, gaining wisdom. People in the NBA know me. If you knew me then, I was not smart. I was, I had a good heart, but I honestly had like a 6th-7th grade reading level in the NBA. And that's not okay. So it led to many mental health issues, not having the ability to articulate what I want. So with, how am I able to balance that? It's it's tough for sure, but it's just figuring out what's your priority. You know, I wrote TV shows and you know, I have like 3 TV shows coming out. One with animation, which is, you know, with Jay Focato and Unique Sports Management is helping out. They're bringing on athletes and consulting, which, you know, I know Tobias Harris and Kelly Oubre is a part of that fund. But Jay Focato is actually a producer of The Simpsons, King of the Hill. So I'm creating a feature film and TV show with him. I'm also doing a sports TV show, which should come out in the press sometime next week with TBC and you know, to shed light on the violence. So it's and all of the external pressures that come with being a basketball player. Never before in the history of Memphis has there been a closer connection between athletes, rappers, and I think, you know, social media is causing everyone to somewhat merge. And it's important that, you know, you would never think that, you know, an athlete would need security, you know, and he can get in trouble with, you know, different people. So just shedding light on authentic tales that need to be told. And, you know, going from activist to Hollywood is a journey in itself, because, you know, while I wrote, you know, these TV shows and films, and, you know, it took a little time to get made, I had to join other projects, you know, just play, you know, playing business and also, you know, people that I really like. And, you know, it's important to me that I not only, you know, help, you know, all people, but, you know, I maintain this sense of love for my ancestors and what they, you know, went through. So to be able to give back to that cause means a lot. So all in all, I think, you know, just having now that I have a, you know, company with Stoke Film Group, and, you know, Asher Levin is, you know, our CEO. He's freaking amazing. I think he's going to be one of the best filmmakers, you know, one of those Scorsese's when it's all said and done. And now I started the Benford Sports Entertainment Company, co-founded that with Vassal Benford, who's won numerous Grammys and, you know, alongside Unique Sports Management. I want to help athletes that, you know, so they don't end up in my position that, you know, where, you know, you can't exactly play and you're looking for what to do next, as opposed to the opportunity just, you know, being there like it is for, you know, certain people who come from a place of privilege. And you would think that, you know, athletes are privileged, but dude, why do we go broke if we're so privileged? You know, we're in these environments that does nothing for us off the court. And I would like for that to change. And, you know, like, for instance, Roc Nation, you know, they help, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to speak on Roc Nation, but, you know, all in all, it feels like I'm headed in a direction where, it just is led by God. And, you know, I'm able to adapt to so many different worlds. I've, you know, let this ego about, you know, being an activist, what does that mean? It's not so much black and white as it is good and versus evil. And you lose friends, you know, taking this journey, and even family, you know, you lose the world at certain times. You know, I lost, you know, the girl of my dream, the love of my life, I would say, not the girl of my dreams, but I lost just from, you know, being myself, and it's totally worth it. There's a sense of sincere salvation and peace of mind and the ability to, you know, make things happen at a quick pace. So there's definitely a spirit. I wake up just freaking flabbergasted, so happy about just everything that's happening in the world. When, you know, other people bring me down, they look at something like, oh, you don't have this, you know, and it's like, dude, I have everything. And that's that gratitude I'm talking, that pushes me to continue to balance all these things. So I'm not in this alone. There's a spirit that's walking with me. And I'm not just saying, I'm not a freaking spiritual guru. Like, I I feel it. I know when, you know, I said at the beginning of this interview, I had the rebuttal spirit growing up from the hood. And now it's the complete opposite, where I just, you know, it's all about love, and great things happen to positive people who are prepared. And, you know, now I'll be making, hopefully, if, you know, well, I will be, I'm already a part of the projects. It's just, you know, a matter of time. We're making projects that are in the 300 that could gross to 300 to $1 billion. And yeah, no one will be able to say, oh, you know, he's this or that at that point. And it's all about just proving it to myself as this kid from the hood that, you know, used to get into fights all the time, although my dad would beat the shit out of me. And I think that's also something that helped me a lot. And also, you know, the career, the NBA thing, you know, I just wanted to prove it to myself, man, more than anything. So I appreciate those who continue to have faith in me.
Last question for you. We had texted a little bit about a Nike project that you're working on. Can you talk about that a little bit and what that entails? And I know you had talked about like some other athletes getting involved in it too. Can you kind of speak on that?
Yeah, that would be the Memphis Sports Entertainment's first project. And you know, we're also doing Wilt Chamberlain's biopic. And this Nike project is about the founders of that group, Phil Knight, and you know, that entire Michael Jordan, Adidas. You know, we have all these characters. I mean, Julius Erving, it's actually, you know, he's going to work with us. And, you know, we're working with Unique Sports Management to help those producers, that team, you know, get that project set, ready, and go. So, you know, I think it'll be a you know, much like the Steve Wozniak with Apple. That thing, that was a great story. It blew up. And you know, these are stories that need to be told. You know, how did Nike come into existence? You know, what were those initial conversations? And, you know, a lot of people hear about, you know, Jordan came and made this happen, but, you know, maybe there's some intricacies that, you know, you may not know. And that's what I'm excited about. And also mostly the ability to, you know, give athletes opportunities that, you know, I didn't have when I came out NBA. You know, I'm working with the MBPA to, you know, try to provide more, but also to, you know, help. Because, you know, when I came out, you know, it wasn't that much. So I'm acting like I'm just 40 years old right now. You know, I'm talking like 3 years ago. Like, so things are moving fast. And you know, as athletes, we have to adapt to a new world. I would like to coin this term, third generational athlete. So, you know, there's just the ability to understand your position in the world. And if you think like an athlete, then you are somewhat of a, I don't want to say the word joker, but if you put it in context of, like, you know, king, queen, you know, where does the entertainer line up in the hierarchy of the entire world? But if you switch that perspective and realize that, you know, being an athlete, as an entrepreneur, you know, and, you know, I'm an enterprise, and this sports keeps the enterprise going, then that's different. So keeping that in mind is very important for athletes moving forward. This new generation, baby, I think everyone should be in line with, you know, entrepreneurship.
I'm so excited for you with the movie projects. I think that Nike biopic sounds amazing. When you pitch it to me as like the Steve, you know, sports Nike version of the Steve Jobs movie, that just sounds awesome. Right. And, you know, everything you're doing, crypto stuff. And then, you know, still, as you mentioned, you're still young, man. Like, you still have years left in the NBA. I do believe that. And I'm so excited for everything that, you know, you have coming up, man. And it's great to see everything that you're doing. Keep up the great work, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Always. Appreciate you having me, Alex.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Everyone, make sure you guys follow Jarnell on Twitter, on Instagram, at Jarnell Stokes. Keep an eye out for all of his movies coming out. I cannot believe I'm saying that, right? Even a few years ago, that would have sounded crazy. Keep an eye out for Jarnell's movies. I'm so proud of you, man. Definitely follow him. If you guys want to hear more episodes of this podcast, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen. Until next time, thanks for listening.